Hey, on the base. The Gemara and Daf Hey on the base. Says the Gemara, Reb Chiya Ba'aba, we are learning the sugya of Yisurim. Reb Chiya Ba'aba Cholash. Reb Chiya Ba'aba was Cholash, meaning he was feeling weak. Ol Legabei Reb Yechanan. So Reb Yechanan went up to him, meaning to visit him, Bikochaylim. And Omalei, and he said to him, Chavivin Olecha Yisurim. Are Yisurim Chaviv to you? Are they precious? You're feeling unwell? Do you view them positively? Omalei Loi Hein Veloi Schara. No. Neither them or the benefits that come out of them. Not interested in Yisurim. Omalei Havli Yodcha. Give me your hand. Yoav le yodei, so he gave him his hand, v'ukme, and he healed him. Miraculous way, merely by holding his hand, he healed him. So I wonder if my art scroll gives any line of interpretation over here. It sounds like a very strange Gemara. He asked him to have chaviv in Yisurim. He says, no, I'm not interested. He says, oh, if that's the case, then I'll heal you. What, do they say any comment on this?
No. All I have is a translation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They have at various points on this, in this, you know, the series of similar stories. They have right. They have explanations at various points.
Right. Any comments to be added here?
But I don't think there was anything. Yeah. Right. Oh, Hibayaba. It was only because it's possible that Rabbi Hibayaba was unaware that a person is so ill. Has the capacity to recover. Rabbi Yochanan, however, was certainly aware of this, for it was he that helped Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba to rise from his sick bed. I think that's a comment on the next one, actually.
Right, yeah, it's here over here. Okay, let's carry on. Rabbi Yochanan, now Rabbi Yochanan. So in the previous story, Rabbi Yochanan was the one doing the healing. Now Rabbi Yochanan finds himself unwell. Rabbi Yochanan cholash, ol legabei Rabbi Chanina. So once again, Rabbi Chanina goes up to Mamalei Chaviv and Olecha Yisurin. Mamalei Loi, Loi Hein Veloi Scharon. Mamalei Havli Yodcho, so give me your hand. Yoev Le Yodei Ve'ukme, and he healed him. Now this is strange, because in the last story, Rabbi Yochanan himself was doing the healing. And here he was being healed. So the obvious question is, well, why can't he just heal himself? Says the Gemara, Amai, why? Why did it need Rabbi Chanina to heal him? Loikim Rabbi Yechanan lenafshei. Why can't Rabbi Yechanan heal himself? Omri, so they say, the famous expression goes, Ein chavush matir atzmoy mibeis hasurim. The prisoner himself cannot free himself from the prison. You need outside help. So the doctor can be a healer, but he can't heal himself. He needs help from others. Rabbi Elazar cholash. Now a third story. Rabbi Elazar became unwell. Ol gabei Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have to remember that in Else and other Gemaras, we are told about the exquisite beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan was so handsome. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that he used to stand close to the mikveh. And when the Noshim used to come out, they used to have a look at him in order to enjoy his beauty. So over here, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan came to visit Rabbi Elazar. Choza dava kogani bebeis ofel. So he saw that the choyle, meaning Rabbi Elazar, was sleeping in a dark house. There was no light. Galye ledare. So Rabbi Yochanan, as it were, rolled up his sleeve to reveal some of his flesh. V'nofal nohura. And that brought light until the whole house. He was so handsome that his guf actually radiated light. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'nofal nohura. First word on the line is nohura. Shohoya besaroi mavhik. Because his flesh was mavik, radiated. light. Sheyofe hoya mo'oid, because he was very beautiful. Because I'm reading about Mitzia Basoyche Esapel. So Rabbi Yochanan has successfully lit up Rabbi Lezer's house, not with a candle, but just by exposing his own bosor. And he discovered that Rabbi Lezer is crying. Rabbi Lezer the Choyla is crying. She says, tell me, why are you crying? If it's because of Torah, because you didn't learn as much as you would have wanted to, Shoninu, we have after all learned that Echad HaMarbe ve'Echad HaMamit ubulvat shichavin libui la'shamayim. This is a concept actually in Menachos with regard to Korbonis. If you look at Rashi, Imishum Torah, says Rashi, Shaloi lomadu toharbe kiritzoincha, is it because you didn't learn a lot of Torah as you would have desired? And after all, we have learned that Echad HaMarbe ve'Echad HaMamit le'inyan Korbonis shenuya. This is a principle, albeit with regard to Korbonis, b'shili menachas, and it says, Ne'mar bo'oilas behemo reach nichayach. It says with regard to somebody who brings a oila from a behema, a huge big animal, it says that it's a reach nichayach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, u'b'mincha, which is a much smaller carbon of the Oni, it also says reach nichayach. Well, how can that be? How can both korbanos, both large and small, both be a reach nichayach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is lelamedcha, in order to teach us she'echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit, etc., etc. It's not the quantity, the size of the korban, as long as you have a kavanah l'shem shamayim. So, for so too says Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, if you are crying because you're disappointed, you did not learn the amount of Torah that you would have wanted. Well, as long as you are mechaven libe l'shem shamayim and you tried your best, then that's what counts. At the end of the day, we don't measure in terms of quantity. The imishum mezoini. And if it's because of food, as Rashi says, she'ein ha'osher, is that why you're crying? Because you're not a wealthy person? Well, you should know, lo kol adam zeicha l'shtei shulchanos. Not everybody is zeicha to two tables. What do I mean to two tables? Meaning both ruchnias and gash. It doesn't mean, by the way, it's impossible. The Lashon of the Gemara is Loi Kol Adam Zeicha. Look at Tosis, the third Tosis on the page. Tosis says, Loi Kol Adam Zeicha, Aval Ein Ligrois Ein Adam Zeicha. The correct Girsa is, in fact, the one that we have, is Loi Kol Adam Zeicha. Not everybody is Zeicha, but don't have a girsa, says Tosis, of Ein Adam Zeicha, a man cannot be Zeicha, sounding like it's not shayach for anybody to have both. Not true. The Hokamot Tzadikim Zeichim Shtei Shulchanos. Because there are Tzadikim who are Zeicha to both, meaning both Ruchnius, very high levels, and also in Gashmius, they were tremendously wealthy. As an example, Kogoyin Rebbe. As the Gemara tells us at the end of Hoyrias, Rebbe was both an enormous Talmud Chacham and also tremendously wealthy. So you see that it is possible. It's not an impossibility. So therefore, the correct Girsa cannot be Loi Ein Adam Zeicha. A person cannot be Zeicha. No, rather Ein Kol Adam Zeicha. Rather, not everybody is Zeicha to it. But I'm sure, I mean, I personally do, and I'm sure you all know, we can all think of people who are both on a very high stature in Ruchnias, tremendous Talmid Chachamim, and also wealthy. There definitely exist people like that. So therefore, he's still trying to work out, so why was he crying? Was he crying because you weren't the Talmud Chacham you wanted to be? You're Mechavim Hashem Shemayim. Is it because you're not as wealthy as you wanted to be? Not everybody is Zeicha. V'yi Mishum Boni. Is it because of your children? Dein garmo da asiroho bir. Now, how do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef?
Dein, the asiroho bir, the 10th son.
The what, sorry?
The 10th son, the bone of the 10th son.
Yeah, so what's that reference to? We had it early on in the Gemara.
Five. Is he lost all his children? See note 16.
So we had this before. He had a number of children, a whole bunch, and they all passed away. He said, is that why you're crying? Omaleh, he said, no. Lahai Shufra. And actually crying about this tremendous beauty that I can see. Rabbi Yochanan has just rolled up his sleeves and revealed a tremendous beauty. And it's very, very humbling and moving to realize that the Lahai Shufra, that this tremendous beauty, the Boli Ba'afra, that's eventually just going to rot in the earth, Kobochino, that's why I'm crying. I'm crying because I realize how temporary this is, however beautiful his flesh is, but at the end of the day, it's all temporary. Omalei. Al do v'do kobochiso. He says, yes, on that you're 100% right. There certainly is reason to cry. And in fact, ubochu tarvayu. And they both cried together. Look at Rashi. Al do v'adai kobochiso, al ze v'adai yesh l'chol livkois. Every other reason. There was an answer. If you're crying because you didn't learn enough Torah, you're mechaver l'shem shomayim. If you're crying because you didn't have wealth, you have to know nobody's zeicha. If you're crying because you didn't have children, well, you should know. Rabbi Yochanan says, I buried all of my children, all 10. He says, no, I'm crying because this tremendous beauty is going to rot in the earth. He says, oh, that's a reason to cry. And indeed, they cry together. How does the story finish? A bit like the previous stories. Adachi v'adachi. In the meanwhile, Amalei chavivin olecha yisurin. Amalei no. Loi hein v'loi scharon. In that case, Amalei havli yodcha, give me your hand. V'ukme, and he healed him. Okay, weiter. Again, like we said, we're trying to go quickly in these Gemaras. We want to get back as soon as we can to the halachic sugyas. Rav Huna. Takifur le arba meo dani de chamra. Rav Huna had 400 jars of wine that all became moldy. They all turned sour. Tremendous yisur, tremendous financial loss that happened to Rav Huna. All the gabei Rav Yehuda achva de Rav. Rav Salah Chasida, Verabono. So who went to visit him? Rav Yehuda, who's the brother of Rav Salah Chasida and some other Rabbonon. V'omri lo, who are the other Rabbonon that went in? V'omri lo, Rav Ada Ba'ava, Verabonon. And he went to visit him. V'omru le, and they said to him, to who? To Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna's just experienced tremendous financial loss. Le'ayin mar b'milei. They said to him, well, you really ought to examine your actions. Remember we said before in an earlier Gemara that if a person has yisurim that befall him, he should really do a bit of inspection, of soul searching. So therefore, if you want to know why have you lost 400 barrels of wine, well, you really ought to examine your deeds and maybe you'll find an avera that would warrant this. Omaluhu, so he said to them, Umi chashidno beinaichu? Am I suspect in your eyes? Do you really believe that there's, for me, I've got to check, I was over averas perhaps? Is that what you really think of me? Omrulei. They said to him, okay, let's flip the question around. Mi choshed HaKadosh Baruch Hu da Ovid dina b'loy dina? He says, what are you claiming? That am I suspicious? Am I suspect of doing aveiras? Well, let's turn that around. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspect of inflicting Yisurim for no reason? Without justice? Omaluhu. So he said to them, fine. E Ika man de Shmir Olai Milsa Lema. Excuse me. If anybody has heard of anything against me, then they should say it. In other words, yes, I accept. You've got to do a soul-searching, a cheshbon ha-nefesh over here. If anybody has heard anything that I've done wrong, please, he should speak out and announce it publicly. Excuse me. So they said, but actually there is something. Omrulay, they said to him that yes, if you have a look at Rashi, by the way, so far, Dani is chavios, takifu is hechmitz, where they went sour. La'ayin mar b'milei yifash b'ish b'maisav, you should examine your actions. I ikka de shemi alai mil salema, im yesh bochem. If there's anybody here, remember all the Talmidim went to visit him. If anybody here, sheshoma alai dovor, shani tzorech lachzerbi, if anybody has heard anything that I really ought to do tshuva for, then please, yoedieni, can you please inform me? So back into the Gemara. The Gemara says, yes, there is something. Omrulei. So they said to him that actually, hochi shemiah, we have heard the following. Hochi shemiah, this is what as we have heard, Deloy Yohiv Mar Shabisha La Arise. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shabisha is Chelkoi Bizmoirois Hagefen Chaitchin Mehen Beshas Hazomir. He does not give his worker his rightful portion in the branches of the vine. What does that mean? Because the Tanan, because we have a mission that says that Kashem Shecholkin b'yayin, kacholkin b'zmoiro yisu b'konim. Halacha is that if you have a worker in your field who is job is to pick up, to cut off the branches of the vine, then by halacha, by law, halachic law, you've got to give the worker some of those branches. So the Talmidim told Rav Huna, but I'm sorry to tell you that we've heard that you don't do this. That's what it means. The lo yoiv mar shabisha, you do not give the twigs, the branches, la arise, to your worker. And I'm sorry to say that maybe that's why these yisurim, the fact that you have lost 400 barrels of wine, which presumably would be midah keneged midah, if you lost wine, then it's something to do with wine that you sinned, and maybe it's because you didn't give these branches to the worker, and they're his by rights. Omar lehu, so he responded, and he said, "Mi koshovik li midi minei." Do you think he leaves me any? To the contrary, kogonev lekule, he steals all of them. So what do you mean, I don't give him any branches? He takes everything. Amrulei. So they said to him, Hainu da Omri Inshi. This is what the famous phrase that people say is, Bosar Ganova Gonov V'toama Toim. Says Rashi, Mi shovik le midi mine v'chi enoi choshud beinechem, is this person not suspicious in your eyes? Shehu goinev li, that he steals harbe yoisem echelkoi far more than his allotted portion? So he said, Bosa ganova goinev hagoinev min haganev afhu toyem tam ganeva. Literally translated, if somebody steals from a thief, then he also tastes the taste of ganeva. So what does this mean in our sugya? In other words, they were giving him Musa. They were giving him Musa, and they were saying to him that even if it's true that this person is a thief and he steals some branches, but doesn't give you the right to do the same, as we used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. So even though he may take more than his allotted portion, but you at the end of the day still have a chiv to give him. The fact that he's doing something wrong doesn't in any way justify the fact that you're doing something wrong as well. So he said, Omalahu, fine. Kabilna olai, I'm hereby going to be makabel on myself. Diyavino le, that I will give it to him. I accept the Musa. Ikeda omri, an incredible thing. A miracle occurred. Some say that what happened, Hodar chala v'hava chamra. Some say that all the wine that had gone off and become vinegar became wine again. V'ikud omri, and some say that no. Ayaker chala v'izdabin b'dmei d'chamra. That no, it didn't become wine, but rather the prices in the market of vinegar were so high all of a sudden that you could get the same price for vinegar as you could for wine. So according to either version, whether the vinegar turned back into wine or the vinegar could be sold for the same price of wine, but you see, he didn't lose out anything. So this Gemara is a tremendously important Gemara for us, that when Yisurim befall somebody, we see that nobody is to avoid the memory of Chazal, of Yefashbish B'Maisav, even the great Rav Huna. And when one does that, you see that in the most miraculous ways, things can be reversed, even through a nace. If 400 barrels of wine turn into vinegar, presumably that's a colossal financial loss. And in an instant, it all came back. Either miraculously it became wine or because it was sold for wine. How so? All because he was mefashbish b'maisav. Scary Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Abba Binyamin on Eimer. Abba Binyamin said the following: Al shnei dvarim ha'isi mitzvay kol yomai. All my life, I've been upset, in pain about two things. Firstly, al tfilosi, that my davening shetehei lefnei mitosi should be in front of my bed. We'll see what this means in a second. And furthermore, va'al mitosi shetehei nusuna bein tzofen ledorim. And also that my bed should be
face north south.
Face from north to south. Now, look at Rashi. There's two Rashis over here. Samuch lemitasi, meaning, kol yomai nizharti. All my days, I was particular, I was careful, shaloi lasais melocha, not to do any melocha, but shaloi lasik b'teira, neither to learn teira, kesho amadati memitasi. When I got up in the morning, I didn't do anything, ad She'ekra kriya shema ve'espala, until I first did kriya shema and tefillah. And that's what it means, that my tefillah should be lifnei mitasi, meaning should be very close, in time at least, to when I got out of bed, and I did not do anything else before I davened in the morning. That's the first thing. So that's what it means. All my days mitzvah means I was very, very particular. And what was the second thing? Sofen ledorom, roisha umar geloiseha. Head and feet, zelet sofen vezeledorim. Venira beinai, shahashchina bemizrach. Oy bemarov, lefichach nosain lahosev derech tashmish, leruchois achiris. Because the shchina is considered either in the east or the west, so it's appropriate for the bed in which relations are performed should be in a different direction. Leruchay Sacheres, instead of towards west or east, it should be north or to south. Now, says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, on the end of the first wide line, Al Tfilosi Shetehe Lifnei Mitosi, quote unquote, my Lifnei Mitosi. What does that mean, before my bed? What does that mean? That my tefillah, I was always particular that my tefillah should be before my bed. What does that mean? Ilema lifnei mitosi mamish. If it literally means I daven in front of my bed. V'ha'omar of Yudam Arav, v'itimerish lakish. You're not supposed to do that. Midnayin lemispalel shelo yehei dobar choytseitz beinoi lebein hakir. There should be nothing. How do you know that there should be nothing blocking between him and the wall when you daven? Shenema, v'yasev chizkio poloch el akir. The yispalo. You learn that chizkio is particular when you daven to face the wall. So how can this be translated literally that he was particular to daven literally by his bed? You're not supposed to daven by your bed. It's supposed to daven by a wall. Says the Gemara, loy tema lifnei mitos. You're right. Do not understand it to mean before my bed, but rather, ela'ema samuch, close to my bed. Okay. What about the second thing that he was particular? Va'al mitos yishtein asuna bein tzofen adorim. The Omer of Chama b'chanin, Omer b'yitzchok, kol anoisein mitosoi bein tzofen adorim. Anybody who places his bed between north and south, Havilen, Bonin, Zacharim, would have male children, Shenema, because it's a pasuk in Tehillim, V'tzfoinich, Temale, Bitnom, Yisbu, Bonim. Tzfoinich is obviously a lashon of Tzofin. Says the Gemara, the Omer, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Af Ein Ishtoi Mapeles Nefolim. Another reward of having the beds from Tzofin to Dorim that his wife will not Mapeles. Meaning she will not have miscarriages. Why? Where do you learn that from? Because it's written over here. Ksivacha, but Sifoinech to Male Bitnum. The Ksivasan by Yimlu Yomeo Loledes, the Hine Taimim Bitnum. Have a look at the bottom Tasis, the very last Tasis on the Omid. You have the last Tasis? Says Tasis, similar to what we saw before in Rashi. As opposed to not having a bed between east and west. Only when we're talking about when he's sleeping together with his wife. Because the Shechinah is to be found between Mizrach and Marav. For Hayahadov Gnai would be considered disrespectful. Lishkav Eitzel Ishtay Mipnei Atashmish. During relations to have the same directions where the Shechina is would be appropriate. V'chein mashma u'moichiach kroi. Fine, we're running out of time, but I'll just share with you a frightening story. If the Gemara mentioned a woman who miscarries, I'll tell you a frightening story. Rav Davidovich, whom you know very well, Rav Eliyahu David, your neighbor.
Yes.
My former neighbor and my Rebbe until this very day. I speak to him all the time. I spoke to him just yesterday. is a big expert in many, 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 many topics, amongst others, the halachas of mezuzah. In fact, anything to do with stam, he's the main address in all of Bet Shemesh. All the seferim bring him mezuzahs, tefillin, etc., etc. So he tells the following frightening story. As we know, there's different types of ksav in a sefer Torah. There's what's called the ksav of the Beis Yosef, and there's the ksav of the Ari. So I once asked him and somebody else, I think if you know Rabbi Reuben Mendelowitz,
yes.
He once asked Rabbi Davidovich that if somebody is renting an apartment and there are mezuzahs in the apartment already, but they're not his minhag, meaning if he normally has Ari mezuzahs, but it happens to be this apartment has Beis Yosef mezuzahs, is that a problem or is it not a problem? The mezuzahs are not his minhag. Rav Davidovich said, I don't want to pask in this shayla. It's a very strange answer. If any of you know Rav Davidovich, he's happy to pask in shaylas. He's always very clear, concise, to the point. Wonderful, very, very special pasuk.
What does the only problem with him, the only problem with him is he doesn't speak English.
But he does speak Hebrew. Or Yiddish. Well, David, you have to learn some Yiddish. I'll go upon him. So Rav Davidovich said, I don't want to pask in this shayla. Why not? So uncharacteristic. If you ask any shayla in Hilchos Mezuzah, Rav Davidovich, he'll give you a clear, concise, beautiful answer. So he said the following. He said, somebody a few years ago once came to me and asked me the exact same shayla. I'm in an apartment and I have mezuzahs which are not in accordance with my minhag. Is that okay? And Rav Davidovich said, I personally hold la halacha that it's no problem at all. So at the time when he asked me this shayla, I said, yes, it's absolutely fine, even though the mezuzahs are not your minhag, but it's absolutely okay.
How did he know that they were not his minhag? They took them out and examined them?
Yeah, maybe they checked them, or maybe the previous owner told him. So he asked Rav Davidovich, these mezuzahs are not my minhag, is it okay? And he said, halachically, I hold, I maintain it's absolutely okay. You're not obligated to replace the mezuzahs. After some while, this person who asked him the shayla came back to Rav Davidovich and said, we had some difficulties. My wife repeatedly had miscarriages. And she had a difficulty going through with any pregnancy. She kept miscarrying. So I went to Bnei Brak and I asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha. So my wife has been able to become pregnant, Baruch Hashem, but she's had continuous miscarriages. And Reb Chaim said to me, check your mezuzahs, see whether they are in accordance with your minhag. So after that, Reb Davidovich says, that's it. I refuse to pass in the shayla. Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, check your mezuzahs to see whether they're in accordance with your minhag, and they were not. Well, Reb Davidovich says, finished. After that, it's irrelevant what I hold la'alocha. I refuse to argue with Reb Chaim. It's a frightening story, but if you want to hear the most juicy stories about mezuzah, Rabbi Mendelowitz is your address. He's got the best stories ever.
What was the maskana? Did he check? And what
I'd love to tell you that the end of the story is he switched the mezuzahs, the pregnancy went through, but I don't know the end of the story. You can ask Rabbi Mendelowitz. He definitely knows this story. If you bump into him today in the Beis HaMedrash, ask him about this story.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. All the very best, everybody. Have a great day.
Shkoch.
Shkoch. Shkoch.